I just say it's kind of a lousy strategy, no matter who who is doing it. But thanks for calling in.
Sure.
Okay, I hear the music playing. It's time to end this show, and stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
All right, good morning. It is KBOO Portland, and Air Cascadia is coming up next. Also today at 10:15, Flashpoints. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Bethany Graybow talks with Jesse Klein, author of the memoir You'll Grow Out of It. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk with Patricia Welch, Emma Jackson Ford, and O.B. Hill. Today they look at Multnomah County Library programs for the fall, including the Children's Book Fair and Books for Back to School. That is all coming up right after we hear from Air Cascadia. Chris Andre brings you headlines, interviews, and commentary right after this.
In 1964, a handful of determined classical music and jazz enthusiasts put their passion and engineering skills together to create Portland, Oregon's first community radio station. 4 years later, in 1968, KBOO was born. After 48 years, KBOO Community Radio is still very much a thriving media hub for Portland and beyond. 2018 will mark 50 years, and KBOO is planning a long line of celebrations now. We need your help. Our top four goals to get started are fundraising, Oregon Historical Society exhibit building, sharing stories in history, and events in celebration. For more information, contact volunteer at kboo.org or Armando Gonzalez at mandosmundo@yahoo.com. We look forward to your help.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, September 1st, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM on the air and KBOO.FM on the web. Today's guest is Billy Wilson. Just to recall who Billy Wilson is, first off, he belongs to the Humpapa Lakota Sioux, Sitting Bull clan. His people go back, for centuries, millennia, and they are rooted in the area, the Standing Rock Sioux are defending at the Sacred Stone Camp. Sacred Stone has now become a magnet. It's become the center of a vortex that is sweeping clans, tribes from all across North America into one mind. And stories are being told because that's what happens when you have tribes and clans and families all coming together in one spot to tell their stories. That's what they bring with them. They bring their stories. And Billy has a story. He was the first one. He called me up about 3 weeks ago and he said, listen, that Dakota Access Pipeline, remember when they had said that the last permit, the water permit, had been denied? Well, this is back on again. And this was not a story remotely at all. He was on the air on a Thursday or Friday. And by Monday, of course, this thing was beginning to blow up. And it is a very important story that indeed needs to be talked about. This is, when we talk in the news about this story or another story, that it does become part of our story. Whoever tells us, whoever recounts these things, it becomes part of who they are as well as our collective of treasury of tales of our lives here today. That's why Cascadia, for that matter, we should do the weather, because it's part of who we are. The weather is part of our story. So much of our story, of course, obviously takes place in that context. So briefly, before we bring Billy on with an update, he's just back from the camp, and he's going to tell us what's going on there. So a slight chance of showers today. Becomes more than slight later on. Highs around 66, and not much of a wind. But tonight, rain before midnight, and lows around 57. Variable winds, and for tomorrow, showers, possible thunderstorms, and a wind building up could gust as high as 22 miles per hour. Friday night, tomorrow night, the rain continues with thunderstorms, maybe, maybe not, and then lows around 52 and slight winds. That's about it for the next couple of days. We have Billy Wilson joining us. Billy Wilson is the Humpapa Lakota Sioux, Sitting Bull Clan, and he joins us right now. Hello, good morning, and welcome back to Portland.
Hey, good morning.
We're so glad to have you on the show again today. Apart from bringing us the original story, your path has itself created its story. Tell us what's been going on. Tell us what you've been up to since we last spoke.
Well, I left there Saturday morning, and so far we've just been gathering up the nations of our people, man. It's pretty pretty spiritual and honorable to see our peoples from this whole Turtle Island come together, man. When they come into camp, they sing songs for them, and each tribe comes in with their flags and stuff, and presents themselves to our peoples, you know, and support and stuff. And see, that kind of stuff just makes your hair stand up, you know. It's really spiritual that way. And so there's lots of that going on, and donations and help from the people, which we're all totally grateful for. But it's going to be a long time that we'll probably be there.
Good.
I've had a couple of my young brothers here yesterday arrested over there, locking themselves down on the machines, which is a good thing to me. I just wish I was there with them. Because I had steel lockdowns. They would have took longer to get me out of there. But I have two fronts that I'm dealing with, you know, back there with my people and here in Portland with my family. You know, we're having hard times, 18 months behind in house payments and all. And so while we're waiting for this court date to come up, the 9th or the 14th, I come back to town here and try to do what I can on my own home front.
Yeah, it's everywhere. This is the thing about this the actions at Sacred Stone Camp and what the Lakota Sioux have at Standing Rock have started is obviously and going to snowball, as they say. Obviously, it's going to draw more and more interest. It is exactly. What the federal government wanted not to happen. They wanted this pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, to go through Missouri, Iowa, and of course the Dakotas, without any objections. They thought that the Lakota people, all of the peoples that are affected by this thing, they thought that they would be nice Indians, good Indians, and not say anything, keep quiet. And even if they did say something, they'd be ignored. And it's far from it. They misjudged that one from here to eternity. And it's the blowback is huge. So what about communications now in and out of the camp? Has that been restored? Is it easier for people in the camp to get messages out, to call family members for wherever they might be?
Well, you know, a lot of times you can get out, but a lot of times they have these planes and helicopters flying around jamming our messages, and sometimes they're jamming them, sometimes they ain't, so you can get in and out sometimes. And as for North Dakota, you know, they don't have no respect for our people, you know. I found out when I was back there, the first three numbers of our enrollment means that we're prisoners of war. You know, our people killed Custer, and they always have that vendetta against us. You know, they keep my people back there oppressed and, you know, no jobs and you know, just the oppression of being oppressed is oppressing, you know. People don't know what to do about it, you know. They can't do things about it, you know. So there's a lot of things that go on, like drinking and stuff, you know, that just try to deal with it or not deal with it, you know. And so we're hoping that there will be a lot of healing and understanding going on and change in the world, you know, not just for our people, but for everybody in this Turtle Island, you know. And it's really honorable to see all everybody standing up, you know, and we really need to do that for nationwide and worldwide, you know, to make change in how we get around, you know, with fossil fuels. And, you know, we need to get more to solar and wind and a lot of them kind of things, you know.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, isn't it? Respecting the earth, respect. Are you there, Billy? Sorry. Hi, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. We have to be careful about language, even if we're quoting.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I understand. I understand. I mean, feelings run high. What's going on at out there in the Dakotas, Bismarck, North Dakota? If you read the papers, if you read local news sources, which again, normally, when you have an event on this scale, it's bounced all across the various media platforms. It will be quoted, Bismarck account will be quoted, and the stories would be repeated across the country. That is not happening. It's all very insular, and it's kept all under a lid there in Bismarck. But if you do go to those websites for the local papers and read the comments and read the articles, it is amazing. Governor Dalrymple has shown zero respect for First Nations.
Well, I can't say zero because
I'm only making that assessment judgment based on what I've read of his remarks, his words.
Yeah. Well, I got reports from our people back there that, you know, like Subways helped out and, you know, acknowledge us and support us and stuff. So there's a few little businesses and people that do have good hearts, you know, not all non-natives are that away, you know. We've seen time and time again, you know, no matter what color you are, it's your heart that we care about, you know.
Sure, yeah. You talked about originally, will you be going back? Will you be heading back out there?
If I can get the funds up, I've got to leave by the 11th so I can be there by the court decision.
That's the court, yeah. And you have many, many organizations, NGOs supporting you at this point. And again, this is exactly what the federal government had hoped would not happen. And the effort to silence people in the camp has failed, because here we are talking right now. We've been talking about this a lot. It has a great many implications. I think much of this, the words that we share and we exchange today are going to echo. This is taking place right now, as so many other currents rush around us. Billy, what would you want to final thought you want to offer to our listeners before we let you go?
Well, through peace and prayer, so far we've gotten this far, you know. We're just hoping that understanding and let know who's right and do what's right in this country. You know, it's not all about the money and prestige and living life on a vacation, you know.
Yeah,
when
that's
the people
true.
Come here to that country, they were supposed to learn how to respect the elements and Mother Earth and all and stuff, and so far they haven't, so we're still hoping that there'll be change, you know.
Thank you so much for that. We are so, we are honored. You used the word honored, and we are honored to have you back on the show today. Many other voices out there, and we would like to get more people on as the camp persists. As Billy says, it's there for a long while. This isn't going away.
No.
Other stories we've got coming up, of course, the Springwater Corridor, the big sweep is on today. We'll be covering that. That'll be on the evening news. Lots of many, many reporters from cable will be out there. And we, you know, stand in solidarity, support them and support their reporting efforts. It's also the Superfund, the Willamette River Superfund. We want to talk with Jim Robeson and over the next few days about how the Superfund, the story of that river, has changed and changed us along with it. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, September 1st, 2016. Engineering for us today is Rock Bergeron. Thanks, Rock. Catherine Stevenson is the KBOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, Native peoples activist Winona LaDuke provides an update of the ongoing protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline on the land of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. Then we go